Yeah.
Bo Hess.
And now, the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
Mass said his lead takeaway was Brady, and that's obviously first on the list. But my main takeaway is really just, I thought it was cliche alert, team win. I thought there were many, many occasions in that game where Bill Belichick had a chance to go for it on fourth and short, near midfield, key spots. And every time, he trusted his defense, and every time his defense came through and got him the ball back. So I think defense was a huge part to that win. Not that they were great for all 60 minutes. They certainly weren't. They gave up more than their share in the first half. But with the game on the line, the money on the table, Bill put his faith in them, and they came through every time. And special teams wasn't huge, except Danny Amendola did return a punt to the 30-yard line, so your final touchdown drive started at the 30, their 30. Pretty big factor right there, and I think the Patriots have definitely picked their spots with punt returns and this sort of thing, and Amendola has, but he picked the right spot to return that one.
I mean, right there, you're guaranteed of a field goal to tie the game.
So that just fielding the punt and returning it the way he did, not guaranteed, but you get a reasonable field goal attempt there for the tie. So I think special teams was a factor. And just what stands out to me again is how the Patriots don't stop. They just keep going and going and going. And again, another cliche is the 60-minute thing. But these teams that have the Patriots beat, and the high-profile examples, again, Seattle in the Super Bowl, Atlanta in the Super Bowl, even like Pittsburgh last month, or if you want to go Houston in the first month of the season, these teams have you beat. They have you beat. But they can't complete it. They can't go 60 minutes. They can't finish, and they can't go to the buzzer where the Patriots do. They never stop in all three phases. They don't stop. They don't stop on defense, and certainly Brady in the passing game doesn't stop. And if you want to beat this team, you not just have to, you got to be prepared and you got to play well and you got to execute and then you got to finish. And these teams can't finish. They can't do it for 60 minutes. Who can do it for 60 minutes against this team? Who can do it? I've been saying it all day. Philadelphia not just has to be prepared to play 60 minutes, unlike some of these other teams, but Doug Peterson has to let his team know that your best 5 minutes have to be the last 5 minutes or else you're going to lose. Because if your best 5 minutes aren't your best, the Pats will beat you. If you don't execute, if you aren't smart, if you don't make the right decisions, you'll lose because the Pats are going to do all those things with the money on the table at the end of these games.
I mean, to me, I told you, I have a hard time getting past the quarterback in this one because I think everything you talked about is predicated on having the quarterback. The only reason you can play those 60 is because he'll somehow pull it out at the end if you give him half a sniff.
And it feels rote at this point, but that it is. For me, it's Brady, and specifically how he played in the fourth quarter. And you tweeted out the numbers, Maz. 9 for 14, a buck 38, and two touchdowns with a 136.3 rating. He was ridiculous, and it's without Rob Gronkowski. It's obviously without Julian Edelman. And it's essentially mostly just a Danny Amendola and chucking up some prayers to Brandon Cooks. It's the second best performance I've ever seen from him. And the first being the fourth quarter he had against the Seahawks a few years ago in the Super Bowl.
I don't know that he's ever done more with less in crunch time like that. Like, and again, you know, it's easy to say Jacksonville and just focus on the name. But they played well yesterday.
Jacksonville was good, and they have a good defense.
They played well yesterday. They did. And so to pull it out like he did. What was that stat I saw yesterday? I might get the first part wrong. That in NFL playoff history, when a team is facing a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter, they're 3-70. The Patriots alone are 3-4. So everybody else takes them 73 tries to get 3 wins. It took the Patriots 7. 7. And it's ridiculous. So, absolutely ridiculous.
The one that stands out to me is the last 4 times the Patriots have been down by double digits in the playoffs, they've won. They've won all 4. So they don't quit. They finish. And they keep going and they keep going and they keep going. And when it comes down to it, they make smart decisions and they execute to the final buzzer. And if you don't, you lose. So you either make the wrong call or you make the wrong play or whatever. So if Philly doesn't finish, if Philly doesn't play well in the last 5 minutes of the game, they're going to lose. That I can tell you. I can't tell you whether they're a worthy opponent or not because I obviously couldn't tell you about Jacksonville. That was a big miss by me. I gave Jacksonville no chance, no respect, no credit, and they played a great game. They were prepared. The schemes, I thought, on both sides of the ball were tremendous. So hats off to Marone and Coughlin. They gave me much more than I thought they were capable of. I was wrong about Jacksonville. That being said, in the fourth quarter, they did suck. In the fourth quarter, all those great offensive schemes and things that they did to get Blake Bortles going in the first 3 quarters, they abandoned. They became predictable and conservative on offense. And they had a mini meltdown at the end of the first half that turned the entire game. A thing that was just inexcusable. And your typical sort of you know, tomato can Mickey Mouse clock management that may have cost him the game. And I'm talking about 2:23 left. They're up 14-3, and they have a 3rd-and-7 deep in Patriots territory, or on the Patriots side of the field anyway. And they take a delay a game coming out of a timeout. They pick up the third down. And they have a chance to go into the tunnel up at least 17-3, maybe 24-3, and not give the Patriots the ball. They pick up a 3rd-and-7, but they have a delay a game coming out of a timeout. And the Patriots get the ball back. They drive down the field. They get a questionable PI call on Bouye. They get a personal foul on that Gronkowski hit. Next thing you know, they're in the end zone. It's 14-10 at half. That was a huge swing. Huge. And that was a huge play of the first half. The big play in the second half was 3rd-and-18. And part of that has to be on Jacksonville. You got to be able to get off the field on 3rd-and-18, up 10 points in the AFC title game. You got to finish. You got to finish. And they couldn't, and the Patriots do. And you make a mistake against the Patriots, they make you pay. So that's the other half to that story about that delay of game, Maz, is that it's not just that it was a delay of game and the Patriots got the ball back. They go and score, and they score 7. And again, like I said before, when you go to kick someone in the nuts, you better not miss, because they'll snap your leg in half, and that's the Patriots. You go to kick them in the nuts and miss, they will snap your leg. So Jacksonville ultimately missed. They couldn't come through with the plays when they needed to. And so those are just sort of my big picture takeaways. Murray should be strutting his stuff today. He should be feeling good.
Oh, I crowed when we started the show.
Here's Murray's email. JHC, he says. I'll just give the initials with due respect to Jimmy. JAC. JHC. JHC. I roll that enough. I'll start my obnoxious week-long victory lap by telling you, I told you this was going to be a game and the Jags were a bad matchup.
Well, that JHC was referencing something in Maz's email where he said, hey, well, you know, we probably should have taken the Jaguars seriously, huh? And who said that all week?
You did, Jim.
Murray goes on.
You're so smart.
Blah! They could beat them with Brian Hoyer. Blah! Quadruple bye. Blah! How are they going to score? Blah! Anyway, that was vindication for me on so many levels. Great finish. I was right. People are mad. Paul Prillo was bullcrap, and I love it all. You're not taking away my fun in this. More winning, more pissing everyone off, more Super Bowls, more everything.
Yeah, I don't know how thrilled Paul is to be going to Minneapolis. Obviously, you know, happy the team won, but I came in, I was like, huh, guys? Huh? And they're both, he and Andy, just typing away, mad.
Minneapolis. No, it's good. It'll be nice, toasty minus 20 in Minneapolis. That'll be good.
Full credit to Jacksonville. I did not think that they... I thought their offensive game plan in particular... Like, they're a good defense, and so they played good defense against you, which I sort of, you know, you shouldn't be totally surprised by. Offensively, they gassed you. And that, to me, it was all scheme, because I think Blake Bortles still sucks. But little rollouts, they threw against your linebackers, they went short. You know, they threw to their running backs, they threw short to their receivers, they threw to their tight ends, they threw against Chung, they threw against Rowe, they threw against, again, your LBs, who can't cover, so well-designed, so well-schemed. They threw on first down, play action, and they moved the ball, and I never saw that coming. So it's huge credit to the coaches, but again, I'll say in the same breath, then what happened in the fourth quarter? They're up 10 points in the fourth quarter, and you can look it up. Their first four first down plays of the fourth quarter were all out of the shotgun, and they were all handoffs to Lawrence Fournette.
Leonard.
Every single one. First and 10, 13 minutes left, shotgun, handoff to Fournette, 2 yards. Next series, 8 minutes left, first and 10, shotgun, Fournette, left tackle, 1 yard. Then they actually picked up a first down, so they line back up on first down.
On a pass.
They go back into the shotgun. Fournette, left tackle, 1 yard. They get the ball back again with 5:53 left, still up 3 points. Shotgun, Fournette, up the middle, minus 1 yard. Second and long, incomplete. Happened all fourth quarter. So all of that great scheming that they did in the first half, where they put the ball in Bortles' hands and they let them throw on first down, they totally panicked or...
Just got too conservative.
They got tight. They got afraid of their quarterback. They got afraid of their game plan when it mattered most, which, again, you can't do against the Patriots.
No, but I'll tell you what. In the case of Bortles, I get it. I get it.
But he was playing the game of his life.
He's 10 for 21 in the second half. Like, I just did the math a second ago. 10 for 21. He threw that one pass to Gilmore down the sideline that almost got picked. And I was pissed that Gilmore didn't pick it, whether he was diving or not. Like, you know, you get emotionally wrapped into these games. I just, to me... I don't know. I I blame the 3rd and 18 more. The defense was the strength of your team. 3rd and 18, you can't stop that.
Killer for them. Killer. So, anyway, it had it all. What a tremendous, tremendous afternoon of football. So, I was wrong about the Jags. I couldn't predict that they'd give you a game. But aren't you glad they did? For all of you saying that you would rather have the easiest road versus some obstacles, you'd rather have the path of least resistance versus good matchups, do you still feel that way? Do you wish you won 35-7 yesterday, Murray?
Yes, because I know I wouldn't die at like 65 because that game took years off my life.
Isn't this so much better? Well, that's so much better.
It's way more gratifying to win the way they won.
It was a better, it was a more fun afternoon, it was a more gratifying victory, it was just more worth our time.
A lot of that was not fun. Really wasn't. Most
big Jim worry. Are you going to do this all over again for 2 weeks now?
No,
to Minneapolis?
You know, I have to watch some of these Eagles games. I'm going to go back on Game Pass. But as of now, I feel like they should be able to roll on this team.
Oh, whoa. Now all of a sudden.
Now you're going the wrong way.
Now all of a sudden.
Nick Foles is a bum. He's caught lightning in a bottle these last
couple
weeks.
But Blake Bortles is the second coming of freaking Joe Montana.
No, there was the Coughlin factor there. And you know, all these other things. That defense is better than what the Eagles.
You're getting
have.
A game in the Super Bowl. Philly's good.
Philly better be ready to go 60 minutes. And when I say 60, I don't mean 59 and a half.
Okay, I'm not talking.
I don't mean 55.
Yeah, I didn't say Philly's winning. I'm telling you, you're getting a game in the Super Bowl. That Philly team's good. They're good.
So all of a sudden, it's no longer Big Jim Murray. I'm not sure what to do with that.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mads on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
White the single back with Brady up under center. He takes the snap. He play fakes to White. He looks down the middle. He fires and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Man, Danny, playoff Amendola. So money on his drive. But the composure of the quarterback, down and tight, Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
Two foot down. Oh, my
left
God.
Foot toe tap in the back of the end zone.
Clutch.
Yeah, it's pretty never had anything like it. Well, I've had a couple crazy injuries, but this was pretty crazy. And they come up and you just deal with them, and I wasn't quite sure how I was going to do. On Wednesday night, and then on Thursday, wasn't sure. And then Friday, gained a little confidence. And then Saturday, was trying to figure out what we could do. And, you know, Sunday, you know, try to come out here and make it happen. So I just want the guys to, you know, we all put a lot out there. And, I mean, this was a little injury at the end of the day. It's certainly a big part of what a quarterback does. I mean, I've had a lot worse injuries than this, but if this was on my left hand, I could care less, but it's based on where it was, and you know, we had to deal with it.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Tom Brady, you are a fraud. I would personally like to thank him for ruining the wonderful dinner that my wife made for me yesterday as I proceeded to vomit all over the living room floor when his wonderful Facebook commercial came on. He's a fraud.
Why is he a fraud?
Well, his commercial says, I'm a warrior. I'm willing to die. Are you willing to die? Hey, Tom, last I checked, you won't even stand in a pocket on the corner blitz. You fall in the field position like a turtle.
Norm,
so you can save your warrior spirit, and you're willing to die on the field is garbage.
He didn't say die. He didn't say die. He said give up your life, meaning give up your family life, give up your free time. Because I've given up mine. I think that's what he meant. I don't think he meant he was going to die. But those commercials, which were in your face during that game, do you know how much more pressure he puts on himself with those? You know, it's one thing just to have a video series and you have it off to the side and whatnot. To buy time during the game? To buy time during the game. Those spots cost a crap ton. So he buys national spots during the game. And there had to have been at least 3, 4, 5 of them. I mean, it ran multiple times, at least twice. Let's just put it like that. I don't know exactly how many, but multiple spots of him basically bragging about beating Father Time. What if he loses or has a bad game or gets hurt in the middle of that game while he's running those commercials? You know what pressure he puts on himself with that?
Sure.
That's even what makes it more amazing. He keeps coming through when he puts all of that on. He looks like a tool bag. If he plays bad, looks old, gets hurt while those commercials are running.
I think he looks like a tool bag just for making it. Like, so look, and not to get into the, like,
but if you win, then you can do whatever you want.
I know, but still, there's a warrior spirit about me. I can't get past that one. I'm sorry. That's just a little much. Now, I don't know. Was Facebook paying for the spots? Like, did they pay him and then
Okay. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So I mean,
either way, that's a big nut.
No question. Yeah, no question. I mean, you know how I feel about
that whole thing. But Brady's green lighting it, and Brady could easily say to Facebook, no, I'm not going to let you run these commercials while I'm playing the game. I mean, think of the balls that takes to say, I've beaten Father Time. I have the answers. And you're running these commercials during a game where you don't know what you're going to do. If you lose or play bad, don't you? I mean, isn't that such easy material to put right back in your face?
No question.
I know Jones was ready for it. I saw him tweeting about it nonstop.
And for him to come and then even win in that is like, good God, Brady. I mean, that guy is something else.
See, that's part of why I found the thing after the game yesterday revealing, too. Like, he's so willing to talk about this injury and then play it up. Like, as passive-aggressively as he did, he played it up, and I'm sort of thinking, there's a warrior spirit about you, and you're going to bail out because of a cut hand?
Think he played it up a little bit? How about number three, Jimmy? How about Brady number three?
For Ben Bowen? Just about your hand?
Yeah.
You can describe what you have on your hand.
Yeah. I'd rather not do anything with my hand, but I couldn't do, you know, that's kind of what I had to deal with. So I just wrapped it up and tried to cover it up and see if... go out there and play and be effective.
Did this impact at all?
I'd rather not wear it, but I think it sounds kind of arrogant to say, oh, yeah, it bothered me when we had a pretty good game, so I wouldn't say that.
Tom, can you take us through the 3rd and 18 throw to Danny Amendola?
Doesn't that sound arrogant if I said that? It's like when Tiger Woods said, like, that was my C game and he won the tournament.
How'd you feel about that?
Oh, totally. I mean, to me, it's like, you know, I don't want to talk about it, but I do. So that's how I read it. And I told you, I love the Belichick comment about it. And Belichick sort of had this response like, well, you know the exact comment. And so, in fact, Jimmy, let me know if you grab it and we'll play it. The Belichick comment on it, I thought, was as if to say, all right, enough already. He cut his hand.
So here's Bill's exchange.
Just your thoughts on Tom Brady, all that went on this week outside of the locker room and that performed the way he did today.
Yeah, well, it went on inside the locker rooms with all you guys, so I don't know about that. You could tell me all about that. Inside the locker room, everybody prepared for the game. Tom did a great job preparing, and I thought we all competed today and made enough plays to win.
Bill, did anything have to change game plan-wise because of Brady's hand?
Not that I'm aware of, Bob.
Can you just speak to the resourcefulness of Tom dealing with something like that midweek and then coming out and playing a huge game like that?
I mean, look, Tom did a great job, and he's a tough guy. We all know that, all right? But... Man. Not talking about open heart surgery here.
I do. I love that line. That is so good. Like, you know, he wasn't out there with one arm, for crying out loud, fellas. It's not like he was kicking it to the receivers. It just was, I don't know. I go back to that thing in the Borges column, too, that comment about, you know, Tom's going to be a problem at the end. And the whole thing just screams of Tom calling attention to Tom. Okay? It was part of the story in the game.
Yeah, and then, but to still come through in the face of it.
Okay, but if the hand thing didn't exist, and he had won that game the way he did, how much less of a story would it really be?
It'd be roughly the same story.
That's sort of what I feel. Like, it's, you know, they're unable to do anything. He loses Gronk. He has no Edelman, and he still pulls it out. Like, to me, the hand wasn't a big part of the story. If it was for other people, good for you. But Belichick? I think Belichick looked at it and says it wasn't on a critical part of his hand.
Bob in New Hampshire, go.
How you doing? Let me ask you a question, gentlemen. If you would have take Tom Brady, what, 17 years ago he started with the Patriots, 18 years ago?
Yep.
So if you would have taken any quality quarterback of that era, of that draft, Peyton was a year before him, I think, right?
But sure.
If you would have taken any quality quarterback or any quality quarterback that you have today that's on a lousy team that's been quarterback, would the success be the same on the Belichick?
Not the same. You'd have success. I mean, if they had drafted Aaron Rodgers in 2004... You'd have won Super Bowls. Would you be on 6? Probably not. If you had drafted Peyton Manning in, was it 99, 97? Whatever his draft year was?
98, I thought, but go ahead.
So, right in the middle of it, if you drafted Manning in 98 and not Brady, would you have championships? You bet. Would you have 6? I doubt it. So, like, that's how I've always answered that question. I think you've got to give, I mean, it's not just, you can't slap in any good quarterback there because Brady's the best ever. So he's won you games that no one else would have won. But that's not to say that everything you've won was all because of Brady. There's other quarterbacks who would have won you some of these games. So, yes, you would have won championships, just not 6. How's that?
Yeah, and what about if Brady had been drafted by Marvin Lewis?
He might not have won.
I mean, so, like, you know, this is that they were right for each other. Perfect for each other.
Tank and Lemonster. Go ahead, Tank.
Hey, I just want to know, when is a catch a catch? What is the difference between pinning a football to your helmet in the Super Bowl, and that's a catch, or pinning it to your thigh in a playoff game?
So that wasn't a catch. That was a lost ball on a running, on a, well, it, I guess it was technically a catch, but it wasn't.
That was a screen pass.
Yeah, Tank, but that wasn't on the reception. He was a ball carrier when he lost the ball.
And the rule has changed since then.
Yes, the catch rules have changed, but those are two different plays. Deion Lewis was a ball carrier when he lost control of that ball. He wasn't a receiver at the time. So there's a whole different set of circumstances. I still think that they could have kept that ball. I think if the refs had said that that was no fumble, that he had possession as he trapped it against his leg with his knee down, I would not have thought that was a bad call. I thought that call could have gone either way. That's one of the few calls that the Patriots that went against the Patriots. Most of the calls yesterday went for them. That one went against them. I thought they easily could have maintained possession of that ball.
I mean, if that had been called Patriots ball initially and it had been the result of a challenge, I don't think it gets overturned.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, that was, to me, a classic one where what they called on the field was too hard to overturn. And the other thing is, I thought it was a great defensive play. I mean, to be able to chase him down, strip it out, and I'm not saying that Lewis isn't culpable on some level, but to chase him down, strip it out, and gain possession? What a play. That guy's a good player.
A lot of things could have happened on that play. Those two balls across the field. Okay, you throw twice, clear across the field, over defenders. Then he fumbles, which was close. Miles Jack recovers it, and if you go back and look at it, he was never contacted. The refs should not have blown the whistle, and he should have been off to the races, and that should have been 7 points going back the other way. A lot of people have looked at the film. Go look at it. He's never touched after he gains possession of the ball. So that was a lot of close stuff going both ways on that play. And ultimately, maybe the Patriots did get a break, because if they hadn't blown the whistles, Miles Jack is off to the races for a touchdown.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Third down and nine for the Patriots. Again, 1:38 to go. Lewis behind Devlin. Allen motions right to left against the four-man front. Brady with a handoff to Lewis. Deion runs it to the left, trying to get outside to the 50. Oh. Lewis has a first down and more across the 40 to Jacksonville's 38-yard line with 90 seconds left and a timeout taken by the Jags.
Christmas time. You wrap presents. You seal the corners. And then when you're done wrapping that gift, you slap that bow up on top of it. That's about what we're getting ready to do here. What a run by the little guy.
It's a great football game. Really, as I said out there, really proud of our players. Did a great job. We didn't really do things as well as we'd like to have done them at times in the game, but they battled. They kept competing. You know, in the end, we made enough plays in all three phases of the game. So a lot of guys stepped up, and that's a good football team. Coach Marone, his staff, Jacksonville, that's a really good team. I can be proud of the way our guys played, competed, fought, and in the end, executed, made the plays that we had to make to win. So we're happy to be moving on.
Hey, guys. Real quick on that Jacksonville delay of game. I really think that was on Bortles, because if you see, they go right to Marone on the sideline after it happened, and you can even see him shaking his head going, after a timeout? You know, so even he couldn't believe that. So I think that's a Bortles thing. But, you know, I had the privilege to watch the game on the West Coast and had fans behind me from Seattle, the Raiders, and Pittsburgh. And, man, were they loud and expressing hatred like you wouldn't believe. And then the silence of that fourth quarter was so golden. But long story short, I got to talking with them afterwards, and basically their hatred is separate from the Patriots winning. They're just so sick of seeing the same team there. And they asked me as a fan, aren't you sick of winning all the time? You know, my answer was, well, when we get to 20, I'll let you know.
Okay,
you know,
so, of course, you're not sick of it, Luke, but I think that's the vast majority of the Patriots' hatred, is they just want to see a different team. Again, the example I keep using is Alabama in college football. I don't know Alabama from my elbow. I don't care. Like, but I do want to see someone else in that game. Can I see a different team already? And I was rooting for Georgia for no reason. I don't know a single player. I don't know anything about the coaches. They could be vile cat juggling, you know, criminals in Atlanta. They could be cat jugglers, Murray.
It's a good jerk reference.
I have no idea, but I wanted Georgia to win because I'm sick of Alabama winning. Does that mean I hate Alabama and Alabama's hate? I mean, that's what I think the vast majority of it is for you. No, the vast majority.
This is my issue with the Steelers. It's why I hated the Cowboys in the early 90s. Unless it's your team or your guy, as a sports fan, you hate sustained success. Someone else. This for near 20 years that they've played this Eagles team before in the Super Bowl? 13 years ago? It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid.
How do you think the league feels?
Oh, they're pumped.
Well, they're thrilled it's Patriots, not Jacksonville.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
So am I.
I mean, like,
I don't know that I've ever rooted for the Patriots harder than I did yesterday. Blake Bortles would have effed up my Super Bowl, man. There's no two ways about it.
Robin Easty. Hi, Rob.
Hey, what's up? I'm going to sound negative here, but I did love the game. I just want to say that. But I wasn't impressed at all with Jacksonville's defense. I thought they did nothing. Unlike what everyone else is saying, that they were so great, but they weren't like Houston last year. They weren't like Denver last or the 2 years ago or the Giants Super Bowls. Not one matchup was dominated. There was a lot of draw passes. The Cooks won, the Gronk won. They didn't do anything. If you look at the time of possession, I bet the 24 points is pretty much where they should be.
I mean, how's your thoughts?
So, look, I think he's wrong, but I'm glad he did bring up Gronk, because before Gronk got knocked out, I don't think Gronk was playing all that great. I mean, to me, there were the two plays, the one he got hit on, and I know he got drilled, should have had it, and there was one before it that he should have had. Like, I thought Gronk...
So you're saying he should have hung under the ball where he got concussed on that play?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Come on. That's a little much.
Watch it. He dropped it before he got hit.
Well, yeah.
He dropped it before he got hit.
And the chuck and duck bomb to him? He should have caught that one. It was like at his fingertips.
I don't care. This is why they rely on Gronk the way they do, because he makes those plays. I'm telling you, watch him when he gets hit. He dropped the ball before he got hit.
Huh. Okay. I'll go back
and look at it. Watch it.
Rick on Cape Cod. Hi, Rick.
Oh, this is for Mez guys. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, Mez, the reason Gronk got hit, it was the hood.
The whole hood wanted him.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
Well, if you remember right, back when Buffalo.
Yeah, no, I remember.
Back in the Buffalo game, the guy says
no.
Who's going to be after him.
No, the whole hood wanted him.
The whole neighborhood went after him.
Typically, when you tell a joke, you really shouldn't have to explain.
Yeah, no. But
it took me a second to figure it out.
I'm the kind of guy that needs everything explained to me. Everything.
I guess if you believe in karma, I mean, if you want to look at that yesterday, maybe that's, now weeks later, payback for what he did to Tre'Davious White.
So you guys don't believe me on the Gronk hit.
What? I believe he... I mean, to say that he should have caught it is...
Watch the replay. He dropped the ball before he got hit. He dropped it.
Okay.
So you don't sound convinced. I'm expecting resistance.
And I'm not. I mean, it's just...
Well, just going back to that caller real quick, for him poo-pooing the Jacksonville defense, well, why did Deion Lewis and James White do nothing, essentially, yesterday, especially in the passing game, where White is usually so reliable on third down? Those linebackers were so fast.
No, that Jacksonville defense, the Jacksonville team was legit yesterday. Not that I could predict it. I thought they weren't. But they were. They were legit. That was a legit opponent. That was a legit game. That was stiff competition. And wasn't it so much better than a walkover?
I underestimated that linebacking core. That Miles Jack.
He can move.
Oh, my God, can he play? He reminds me of the guy in Atlanta. Deion Jones, similar type of body. Like, he's fast. He's good. They're legit.
Here's our gal pal Paula in Westwood. Hi, Paula.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great game. I mean, I thought Jacksonville was much better. They really surprised me. I thought they were great. Although, I got to say that taking a knee with 55 seconds left to go in the second quarter, like, why would you do that?
Because your quarterback sucks, Paula.
Yeah, exactly. But, really, talk about Tom Brady being overconfident.
Paula,
that showed his complete lack of confidence.
You got to get a new phone. But, again, there's a lot of calls on that. Did you totally blame Coughlin for taking it? You totally blame Marone for taking a knee there?
No, you got it right. Coughlin.
No, I don't.
Go ahead.
I thought he was insane. I mean, you had two timeouts. It was 55 seconds. And later in the day in the NFC Championship game, the Eagles, who were getting the ball just like Jacksonville was going to, they had a nice lead. They got the ball at the 29, and they still went for it and got 3 points out of it. I couldn't believe that they did that with two timeouts.
The key play was the series before.
Well, sure. The delay of game.
Delay of game on 3rd and 7 that they picked up. And then the Patriots with the PI and the hit on Gronk go down and score 7 like that. I think they were shell-shocked from that, as they should be. They bollocksed that.
So I don't remember the timeout situation at the end of the half.
That was a mini meltdown between the delay of game coming out of a timeout, personal foul, long PI. Like, that was a meltdown.
See, I think the Jaguars looked at it and said, we just gave them 7. We should be up 17-3 at a minimum. Now it's 14-10. And we're going to have this guy put it in the air, throw 3 incompletions, and give Brady the ball back and give him another 3? Like,
I don't know. No one expected to even be here. Fortune favors the bold. So many times this season they went for it on 4th down. They did it even against Pittsburgh the week before. I think you got to try to go for it.
I don't know.
It down the field.
I mean, if you think about it, they were up 20-10 in the fourth quarter. They played it right. They get the ball back to start the third quarter. They were exactly where they wanted to be. 10-point lead with one of the best defenses in the league. I don't blame him. Bortles scared the crap out of me going into that game. If I were them, I wouldn't let him throw it all.
Okay, here's our friend. I put that in air quotes. He's not our friend. Bob in Easton. What's your problem today, Bob?
Come on, man. I'm friends. You know, you guys would find a small pimple on a supermodel. I swear to God. You know, Matt starts the show with saying, yeah, the Jags really exposed the holes in the Patriots. Matt, tell me a team in the NFL that does not have holes. But here's my problem. Okay, you guys start talking about how Brady doesn't talk up the injury, and then the injury, and then it's like you said, a big deal. Felga, Mads, Murray, last week when this story broke, did you guys think that this was going to impact the game at all?
Yeah, I thought it might have, yeah.
Yeah, to the point, Felga, where you're patting yourself on your back that you actually broke the story. I give you a credit for it.
Thank you.
That he had stitches on his hand.
Thank you.
So even after that, did you think that that would impact the game?
Yeah, I thought it might, and I thought it did impact him yesterday. I don't get what you're driving at.
Hey, Bob, I said they should win the game in spite of it.
So my point is, it's a big deal that Brady comes out there with 4, 6, 10, 12 stitches on his hand, wins the game, loses Gronk by the end. Maz, you're right. He should have caught that ball. He got hit after. But still should have won that. He's still throwing. And they attacked Jacksonville's defense. He threw. I wasn't impressed with Jacksonville's defense, not what the other knucklehead said. I'll tell you why I wasn't impressed. They didn't pressure Brady like I thought they would, and I love the fact that the Patriots threw to put the pressure on them. That's what the Patriots do. Here's what you guys miss on their defense. They're a scheme defense. They play to the situation. Why don't you guys ever understand that?
Well, no, I mean, they're good at they play to the situation. Like, what?
I still don't understand his point. Was he happy with the game that Brady had?
No, so what he's saying is Maz was saying that the thumb was no big deal and a non-factor in the game, when last week we were playing up his thumb and the injury. Which I understand his point. I think the injury was a real story last week. I think he was really injured. I think he played through it yesterday and played well through it. And I think it did impact him, or it should have impacted him, and it didn't because he battled through it. I give him full marks for the whole thing. It adds to the legend. It adds to the game. He won, and he came back in that game despite no Gronk, despite no Edelman, and with the thumb injury. Pretty good stuff.
If they had lost that game, was the thumb an excuse?
I wouldn't have allowed it to be, but it's no excuse because you should still beat Jacksonville with a bad thumb or not.
But did he throw the ball in such a manner that made you feel that it was a factor?
The first stretch
Maybe
there in the second
bit.
Quarter, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, people disagree with me, but I think he was really, really lofty, especially early on, put a lot of air under a lot of balloon balls, and maybe it was just him feeling his way with that hand.
Yeah, see, I don't feel like it was a factor, sure, of course. But what, 10%? 5%? 15%? I don't know. Whatever it is, he had enough to win yesterday, and by a significant amount. I never once looked at it and say he can't play, the hand's a problem. I never once did that. I thought he had to adjust and modify things maybe a little bit. But I never felt like it was this huge obstacle. And Bob, I began the show by talking about how I thought Brady was the big takeaway. I didn't sit here and pick at the Patriots for their deficiencies. Jacksonville had a good game plan. I credited the Jags for that.
We'll start picking starting tomorrow.
But and nobody can pick like we can.
That was a joke. I was joking.
But I mean,
but not really.
But I looked at it and said, to me, what you marvel at again, yet again, is the quarterback. 11 comebacks in the postseason in the fourth quarter. The next closest guy has five. Five. That was Eli, and he needed two of them to beat Brady. Like, the whole, it's just, the gap between him and everybody else now is gigantic. It is huge. There isn't even anybody in the same sort of breath now.
Okay, final word comes right next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do. Like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? Only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
buddy.
All right, a couple of pieces of sound. First, Felger might have gained some respect for the Jacksonville Jaguars, giving the Patriots a game yesterday in the AFC Championship game. But what about running back Leonard Fournette? Leonard Fournette. Well, not so much.
Tell me if you sense a trend here, Murray. I'm not very smart. I don't pick up on things. But you tell me if you can sense a trend. First Jacksonville possession. The first three possessions of the fourth quarter. First one with 13:37 left. Shotgun. Lawrence Fournette up the middle for 2 yards.
Leonard.
I still call him Lawrence. Next possession. 8:38 left. First down. These are the first down plays on the last three possessions of the fourth quarter. I'm sorry, first three possessions of the fourth quarter. Shotgun. Lawrence Fournette left tackle for 1 yard.
Leonard.
Next possession, 5:53 left. Shotgun, Lawrence Fournette up the middle, minus 1 yard.
Leonard.
The first three possessions of the fourth quarter was the exact same play.
And they gained nothing on any of them.
They were handoffs up the middle to Lawrence Fournette out of the shotgun.
Leonard.
First down, they're in the shotgun. Guess what they did?
Fournette
up the middle.
What did he get? Did he gain anything?
1 yard.
Yeah, see, I think and on those carries, so they got into second and long on all of those. That's the thing, and that's where they hurt themselves.
So on the first four first downs of the fourth quarter, exactly the same play, Lawrence Fournette out of the shotgun up the middle.
Leonard. Nobody hates running backs like Mike Felger.
No, I'm a running backist.
Yeah.
No,
Larry Fournette. Now Larry.
Lawrence Phillips.
And he was crying his ass off out. You see all of his bawling?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Good. Yeah. Give me a break.
Larry Fournette.
Yeah. Holy moly, guy.
I don't think he was right. I think something's wrong with his foot. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know you've made a terrible play when even kind, even keeled Bob Sosie gets mad.
Oh,
he was pissed.
As Patriots wide receiver Brandon Cooks learned yesterday.
Brady drops back with a play fake to Lewis. Stands tall. Throws down the left side for Cooks. It's off his hands and he can't make the catch. He was open. The throw was on his fingertips and he could not hold on.
He's fighting it. I mean, I don't know how more to explain these deep issues that he has downfield when you don't hit him between the 1 and 4.
That was right on his
what's
hands.
What's the movie? Is it The Replacements? I'm trying to think of. The one guy where he's always open downfield, and he's got the white gloves on, and just it's like you got to hit him in the helmet.
I didn't see the movie. What are you talking about? Will you give me the analogy there? I don't get the analogy.
Even Sosie sounded mad on that one.
I don't watch movies. I watch football. What do you mean The Replacements?
Off his hands!
Sosie.
But again, that was a good... Play that again.
Brady drops back with a play fake to Lewis. Stands tall. Throws down the left side for Cooks. It's off his hands and he can't make the catch.
Oh, right. Sosie got mad. Yeah, the little fella got mad.
Oh, yeah.
Side for Cooks. It's off his hands and he can't make the catch.
Since when?
Growling Bob.
Yeah, the angry leprechaun.
Since when does he get it? I've never seen him lose his temper.
It's off his hands and he can't make the catch.
That's what I sound like when I talk to my children.
Oh, yeah.
Put it down!
Yeah. Yo, yeah.
Go to bed!
Off his hands!
And he's right to be that angry.
I have to tell you!
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.